The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family. Jalan, 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 jalan,
jalan, jalan, jalan, jalan, jalan, jalan. Hello, welcome back. It's another My Mate Bought a Toaster lockdown special, joined today by the fabulous Rhys James, who I can confirm, Rhys, can you just confirm for the audience, you are absolutely nowhere near me at the time of recording this.
Nowhere near you at all. Although maybe I should, because I'm not looking at you, maybe I should get a picture of you on my screen. That might help.
That's not a bad idea.
We're not doing we're not doing a Skype while we do this. It's purely audio. We might as well be on the phone, but you know.
Yeah.
I'm used to Zooms now. And actually, it turns out, I just searched Tom Price. Perhaps that was optimistic, given how common that name is. And there is a US politician.
What are you looking
at? You must know that.
Yes. What famous arsehole, Tom Price. And I have a lot of fun with that, because every now and again, because I've got a blue tick on Twitter, Rhys.
No big Congrats.
Deal, no big deal at all. Thank you, man. And people often come after me. They see Tom Price on Twitter, or I'm actually at Price Tom on Twitter, and they think I am him, and they come after me. So he was disgraced because I think he was doing lots of flights in America. He was some sort of health secretary, I think. He was the Matt Hancock of America, essentially.
That's great.
Yeah, and he's a loathsome Republican individual.
Well, maybe I should look. I won't look at him. He'll make me upset. I'll get. Which is there any picture in particular you'd encourage me to look at?
I mean, there's one from the best picture of me to look at to sort of feel like. I mean, you can go to Magic Radio. That's probably going to be, you know, my most cheesy
behind a mic.
An inch of make. Yeah, and do you know what I mean? Sort of smiling like I'm interested in you.
I found a magic one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I feel like I should do the same now. What's the best picture I should get of Rhys James? There we go. James. Oh, there's just that one, isn't there? That just comes up with you looking up. Which is quite good, because I am taller than me.
You, so yeah.
That makes sense. Oh, I'll do that one. Okay, so listen. Rhys James, fabulous, fabulous stand-up comic. Really thrilled that you've joined me on the podcast today. 2010 is when you began. It's when you went out to bat for Amazon.
Really?
Yeah, 2010. So how old were you then? Were you? I bet you were disgustingly young, weren't you? Because you're still pretty young as it is now.
I wasn't as disgustingly young as you may think. I think I was 19 in 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, I must have been 19. So, you know, finally got some card details, I suppose. Finally could get some deliveries to somewhere other than my parents' house. I would have been at university. That's probably, it was probably out of necessity, wasn't it, at 19? Was it that 10 years ago is when everyone got an Amazon account?
Pretty much. No. Most people, you know, we had our oldest Amazon sort of graffiti on the cave, who we found was Matt Green, who bought a book about Martin Amos in 1999.
99. Wow.
So, well, you've very much followed form here. September 2010. You've bought Tim Key book, Stuart Lee book, Dimitri Martin, all wonderful comics. Very much making sense. This all fits. This all fits.
Okay. But pretty boring. Pretty. I find it.
No.
As a comedian, anything that reveals that I like comedy makes me feel embarrassed. I don't know why.
Yeah.
There's something about it where you're like, oh, you're just. Even though the whole point of being a comedian is that we were all just fans of comedy, and then we became comedians. But for some reason, it's like, no, I need to look like I never even cared about this. I just, I'm such a natural.
You should have a massive passion for like astronomy or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that,
you need something else.
This is the problem, isn't it? And I really feel this. We've talked about this before. When you start comedy with absolutely no hinterland at all, and you just literally walk on stage, and all I've got is a desire to have sex with women and the fact that I'm obsessed with Alan Partridge from Red Dwarf. That's it. There ends my life. That is it.
That's my, they're my qualifications. Is a Tim Key book I bought on Amazon.
You've got Looking for Alaska by John Green. What's that, please? Why don't I've not seen that before? Let's have a look at this, shall we?
That is a John. Do you know John Green? He wrote The Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, the sad books.
Yeah. So
isn't that one of the sad ones?
There's no world in which I have read Looking for Alaska.
I absolutely
bought that book, and with the intention of reading it. Just like everyone buys every book, and like everyone who buys every book, I didn't read it. That's how book sales work. I remember actually, I was just I was a very sensitive 19-year-old. I do a podcast called Early Work about people's early writing, and I have loads of like really sensitive poems from when I was about 19, 20, and I keep telling the people I'm reading them to that I was 16, but I was 20 in most of them, 19, 20. I was a fucking loser then, was.
Right.
But anyway, I remember buying that book, right? And I remember, this is so specific, but that book specifically, I remember messaging this girl called Isabel. You can bleep this if you want, but her full name is...
Okay.
Really fit. And I sent her, posted on her Facebook wall saying she had posted about looking for Alaska before. And then I was looking for, genuinely for a new book. There was no ulterior motive here, but I just posted saying, if I buy Looking for Alaska, am I going to like it or something like that? And she was like, yeah, it's great. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, bye. And I genuinely wasn't trying to be a creep. I just wanted to know, I did know this person. I was like, do you think I will like this? And then some guy who was in, this guy who like, basically, the idea of, are you familiar with the phrase scene kids? Like scene as in movie scene, spelled like that.
No, tell me.
It's like a strand of like, what older people, if they saw these young kids, would describe as emos. But in my generation, I wouldn't have considered them emos because they were a bit more hardcore, a bit edgier than that. But they were all like the sort of kids who were like in metal-y bands, had tattoos, but also had long hair and like a nose piercing and that kind of vibe.
I know the type. Okay, you're absolutely right. I'd so say emos. Like my mum would say dropouts. That's what her generation
really
would say.
Really, dropouts? Then, wow.
Yeah, that's what my mum would say. Come on, she's in her 70s. You know, she'd say she's dropouts. And then maybe like 10, 15, 20 years underneath her, they would say, I don't know, maybe hippies or rockers or something.
Yeah.
For me, emos... they're goths, actually. They just said goths. Then we got emos, and now they're called scene kids.
Well, I think scene kids is probably something beyond scene kids now, but that's what it was. At my age, it was scene kids. And it did kind of mean emo, but it was slightly different to emo. It was a bit edgier. It was a bit more druggy and boozy. And like they were still lads, if you know what I mean. So they weren't emos as in like, oh, just leave me alone, mom. It was more like, no, they're still geezers. They just look... like emo.
Oh, that's not fair. That's not fair at all, because the whole deal is, the whole pact. And when I was a student, or when I was a teenager, I listened to the Smiths in a whole kind of, I'm a pathetic indie, low self-esteem wimp, and I do not do this with any attempt to be cool.
Sure.
I'm just, you know, like, sort of trying to take myself away from everyone. I want to be a bit special and different, right? But they're trying to get the best of both worlds, because they're being all fucking looking all sort of weird and sort of uber nerdy cool, but still being lads.
Yeah.
That's cheating.
And these guys were all in bands where like, that was like scream as much as you can. That were like, so it was aggressive. It was all about aggression. But one of those guys basically commented on this post before... Oh, no, that was it. Isabel replied saying, yes, you will love it. It's great. And this guy replied saying, if you buy this, it will also make you a... And then he used the homophobic F word. And he said, like, you fucking loser. I'd never heard of this man. I didn't know this man. He didn't know me. But he saw this comment on a Facebook wall as he was presumably stalking Isabel's Facebook and then decided to show dominance, like we were in the wild.
Right. I see.
And he commented
on the planes.
And then being the sensitive loser I was like, oh, sorry for trying to broaden my horizons. Maybe get out of your bubble for once, man, and read something. And then the book arrived and I didn't read it. And the next time I went on her Facebook, she deleted the post. So, you know.
My matey bought a toaster.
So we've got a gift order here, December 2011. I'm wondering what it is. Wild and Wolf Scrabble mug with the letter S on it. This is for who?
The letter S.
S. Oh, he doesn't remember who it's for.
I don't know. S. My brother's called Sam. There's a chance that it could have been for this, and it would have been breaking the rules if it was. But every Christmas, for a long time now, we've done a Yankee swap in my family, in my extended family. Are you aware of a Yankee swap?
Mate, first of all, scene kids, I now know what that is. I do not know what a Yankee swap is. Over to you, Rhys.
You probably do, but it's probably called something else to you and to your mum. So go basically...
Dropouts. Yeah, go on.
You all have to go and buy a gift that... You need two, but the gift can't be worth more than a fiver. So I've broken the rule if it is for that. Gift. So it's £10 total, £5 each gift. You just wrap them up. And then there just comes a point on Christmas Day where all these gifts go in. It's probably on Christmas Day, there's usually like 12 of us. And so all these gifts go in the middle. We're kind of sitting around. And then you do, I think this is correct. I might be slightly wrong, but you do one round where like you just pick up a gift and open it like randomly.
Yeah.
And
then so
like
you have Secret this, Santa, but not quite Secret gift. Santa.
Yeah, but it's not directly. And then so then there's another round where, so basically now, by now, 50% of the gifts should be gone. So you all have one gift in your hand, and then you open another gift and you can choose whether you swap one or keep your gift. And if a gift is swapped three times, then it's out of the game and the person who gets it swaps it the third time keeps it. If you know what I mean. So it's all about trying it. So basically it emerges pretty quickly. Oh, there's four gifts that everyone wants. Like, it turns out you always realize, oh, there's four gifts that are good. And so they're trying to get swapped, but you're trying to do it tactically. So, like, you don't want to be the second swap, or you definitely won't win it.
But hang on. The gifts are unwrapped then, so you can see what's being handed.
No, so they are wrapped.
The gifts are still wrapped, so you're sort of judging them by size.
They're wrapped, but once you pick it up, you unwrap it. So then, yeah, at this stage, at the swap stage, they're unwrapped. And then the third round is purely for swaps, so there's no more to open. So third round just swaps, and you do that. And it always emerges. So there's a chance that I just, like, panicked, because often it gets quite late and quite close to Christmas, and you just pick, everyone just gets tat, like, just crap stuff.
That's fine, though. This mug for that game is absolutely fine.
It's all right. It wouldn't be a popular swap. But you never know what it is. So, like, there was one year where everyone was desperate for this back scratcher. And this back scratcher was, like, worth a quid. And it was, like, an extendable metal hand that was just so much fun to play with. So everyone wanted that. And then, like, this year just gone, there were these, like, David Bowie top trumps that were illustrated that looked really cool. Everyone was trying to get them. There was one year where my uncle got... So as you mentioned, that picture of me looking up that comes up, there was four shows I did in a row where I was looking in different directions and had a different color background. And it was really simple promo shots. And my uncle one year got them printed on coasters, got four of them printed on coasters. And then that actually wasn't that popular. People weren't trying to win them, but people kept trying to win them to give to my Nana, knowing that she obviously would be the only one who wants them. And they're in her house. They're still in her house.
But if you got them, very, very cool business card.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pop your drink on that, mate.
Really nice. Yeah, exactly.
Tell you what you want to put on that. A little mug with an S on it.
Just pop your warm mug rim on my face. There we are. Lovely. Something else you bought here. November 2011, the Kid Cudi poster.
Kid Cudi. He's a rapper.
Oh, mate, I'm so old. Kid Cudi. What, you've got a poster. Oh, that's nice. Nice poster.
I got a poster. Love 20 a poster. Years old.
Yeah. Come on. 20 years. When are you? Okay, here's a question. We like to ask the big philosophical questions on this podcast. When are you too old to buy a poster? I reckon definitely not in the 20s. I reckon 30 is the sort of stopping point.
I think the poster element of it is fine, but there comes an age where it can no longer be up with just blue tack. It must be framed. That's what.
Oh, my God. Yes.
That's what art is anyway, isn't it? Art is just. We all claim that it's like, oh, but it's just a fucking poster in a frame. It's just that you put border on it. It's just that, like,
that's so true.
When you can see the reflection of the thing, if light's shining through the window and then you can see it, that's when it's crap, because you can see the folds in the paper, kind of. But when it's in a frame, you're like people do that all the time. They get like an original from the movie theater and they think that they're cool. So that's not different to when you had a poster of Stone Cold Steve Austin up. It's just as lame and childish.
It's completely true. When you're childish, forget the whole when I was childish, I put away childish things when I grew up. Whatever, I've completely mangled that quote. I put away blue tack. That's what happens. Yeah. I step aside from the blue tack. And do you know what? As I sit here in my study, right behind me, there's two Morrissey posters that I framed.
Exactly. That's Kid Cudi, mate.
And there's one of my Edinburgh posters that I've also framed in my study.
That's all it is. God. It's just Kid Cudi. You just got a Kid Cudi poster from Amazon when you were 20.
I love it when we find out truths in this show. It's so satisfying. We're in 2012 now, Rhys. I mean, I'm going to have to drill down on this, because in January 2012, you've actually bought yourself a razor. Razor blade there. So congratulations.
First
well
time.
Done. Finally. Got yourself, that's the lad bands that I'm heading towards. Ha ha. You haven't got much hair on your face. Lols.
Yeah.
Always nice to be able to buy a razor online, just for those little anonymous purchases. It's weird, especially when it's your first time.
I wonder if it was the first time. Maybe I bought one in Boots or something before. But what is it? Is it the razor heads, or is it a razor?
Oh no! You got a handle as well. It's a Gillette Fusion Gamer Manual Razor. What's that? Gamer? Is that for if you've got overdeveloped thumbs or something? Gaming?
Yeah, I mean, my dexterity was incredible. I could a normal razor, I would have just sliced my face off. I needed something that could turn corners. It must have been my first one then. Genuinely, that must have been my first one. And then I sort of every now and then I still. And you'll probably notice this as you go along the years. I still occasionally go, oh fuck! Of course, you can just buy razor heads on Amazon. And it's much easier than like buying them in a shop and then having to get the security tag removed. And the fact that when you're in the shop and they're 20 quid, you resent it massively. Yeah. But on the internet, for some reason, you don't care. And I always forget that. And then like about once every 6 months, I go, oh, yeah, I'll just buy loads. They don't just expire.
That's why I did that. Absolutely. No, they don't. When they can, they're not going to rust, are they? Not in our lifetimes. I did exactly this. I decided to go clean shaven because I've had a beard for a while. I'm not showing off here, Reese. You know, I'm just I'm a man's man.
All right, mate. Having a go at me and then bragging about your own beard.
Let me tell you why I've got a beard, right? I've got a beard. It's the jowl protector, right? It's a jowl strap, essentially. So to cover up the excess chin that was developed.
Yeah, I know that. I resent it. I get so angry.
Right, oh, I see. No, fine.
Yeah. I get so angry about this. Do you know how hard I have to work to make sure that I don't have a visible double chin, and not for any kind of fat shaming reasons. I don't mind if you want that, right? But it doesn't suit my face, all right? My face is too youthful to be chubby, all right? It needs to be the sort of the jawline needs to be intact, or I look insane. And also, my act is quite holier than thou. You can't be doing that if you're a chubby child, right? If I'm going to present myself as above the audience, I need to have a slight chisel to me. And yet I don't get...
Jimmy Carr got funnier when he got dramatically thinner,
exactly, didn't he? Exactly. He dropped the wobble, right? But I can't get that beard. I can't grow that beard to just cover it up and then just relax like Ian Sterling. So what I have to do... Ian Sterling, he'll be the first to tell you that he got that beard and then just started boozing loads and got a beer belly.
Which... It's a beard balaclava.
Exactly. I can't do that. So I've got to do sit-ups. It's a load of shit. Makes me furious.
But at least you're saving a fortune, because this is presumably still the only razor you've ever bought. So, you know.
Yeah, there we go. I don't think I've updated the razor.
Here's a good one. May 2012, Rhys James here, continuing the battle with not wanting to look like a child. Obviously, he's bought razors and he's trying to be a grown-up, but he's spent £10 on Kellogg's Fruit Loops, on 481 grams of Kellogg's Fruit Loops. That, Rhys, is unprecedented.
I went through a phase at uni of... really, really reminiscing about an American holiday I had when I was a child, and the most visceral memories I had of it weren't all the various expensive theme parks we visited, or, you know, natural parks, or all the museums and history that we took in. It was more the breakfast buffets that we would go to, where, you know, once again, did I make the most of that with the pancakes and the bacon and the eggs? No, I had the cereal always. And always, often I had the Fruit Loops, occasionally the Lucky Charms. And I just remember Fruit Loops being the most delicious thing in the world. Obviously, I now know it's because they were purely sugar. Unfortunately, those Amazon Fruit Loops, I think, were the British version adjusted for the British sugar market. You have to buy them from...
So lowered in sugar levels.
Oh, yeah, and taste like nothing like the Fruit Loops of America. And so they sell them in supermarkets now, actually, on the shelf, and they are it's a different product. You have to get the actual specific American shop Fruit Loops if you want them. Yeah. Just a little tip for any listeners.
If you want to get the full American, really a proper fat, a fat man ass, which is hard to get on a UK diet, but you've got to hit the sugar up big time to really get that, size.
For your morning immediate sugar rush before your crash 20 minutes later.
Yeah, exactly. Look at this. What have we got here? Looking at the reviews, 2 stars. Raoul says, more expensive than Bitcoins. Really? What are these? Are they made out of gold? So pricey for the quality. Don't forget, I've logged in as you here, Reece, so I'm going to click on helpful for that one. I could comment on that for you. Do you want me to say? I agree with you. Can I say
that? Feel free. Genuinely, feel free to comment anything. I need to get my profile up.
I agree with this, Raoul.
How many years ago did you do that? Is he going to get an email saying your review from 6 years ago has just been...
Absolutely fine. I've just said, I agree with this, Raoul. You sound like my kind of guy. Post comment. And yeah, he did post that 11 years ago. Okay, so what else have we got? There's lots of other great reviews for the... people get really cross about the Fruit Loops. Look at this. Someone said, full caps lock is on for this. Not US Fruit Loops.
Yes.
Well, actually, it looks like not us Fruit Loops. These are the UK Kellogg's Fruit Loops. Excitedly, I ordered 2 boxes of Kellogg's Fruit Loops, one a present for my sister and the other for me, and was totally disgusted to find these are clearly not a US import, but merely the rubbish UK version. These boxes of UK Fruit Loops I received were way overpriced, considering these can be purchased in any UK supermarket for a fraction of the price. Fucking look at this, mate.
Was that written by me 10 minutes ago? Do you have voice recognition on?
That's what it is. It does sound word for word what you were saying. Avoid this product at all costs. Clearly not a US import. If I could give this a no-star rating, I would have. That's annoying. I'm going to click on helpful, but I'm tempted to correct would have to would have.
I couldn't agree more. That is exactly what I was feeling when you reminded me of sent me down that exact anger journey.
Well, no, I'm glad there's other people on it as well. You know why they're so angry, don't you?
Go on.
Ooh, lack of sugar, isn't it?
Of course, low blood sugar. Need the Fruit Loops.
If you're a fan of all things geeky, you're going to love Concessions, a brand new podcast by comedian Matt Hunton and myself, Beck Hill. where we interview your favourite cult heroes at Comic Cons all across the world. We've got stars from Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Walking Dead, and more. Make sure you tune in soon to Con Sessions.
Great Big Owl.
My mate
bought a April 2014, Harry Potter Gryffindor adult robe, size medium. So we now know you are a size medium, assuming this is for you. You spent £20 on this.
Yeah, get yourself on YouTube, any listeners, and search Rhys James's Fringe. It was a little series I made to promote my debut Edinburgh show. I made this little online kind of mockumentary sitcom thing where my... promoter, played by Matthew Crosby, is telling me that I have to, if I want to sell more tickets, I have to call my show Rhys James Harry Potter. I'm contesting it, saying I've never even watched or read Harry Potter, and he's like, you got to do it. And then I'm like, no, come on, we can come up with some more ideas. And then me and like David Elms, who's playing my social media manager, Lolly, who's playing my muse, Nat Lertzima, Paul G. Raymond, loads of people, loads of great comic actors and comedians are just like brainstorming these names, but they're all obviously terrible. It's like, what about Rhys Rice? And then you've obviously got all the Rice puns, change your name to Rice. And then it's like all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then riffing all this shit. And then eventually I just go, fuck it, we'll just call it Harry Potter. And then there's a whole series of like four more videos of me building this show. So that's for the photo shoot episode where I'm having to do my photos for the poster. And so I'm dressed up as Harry Potter, doing all of that stuff. And then eventually at the end of the series, I go, oh, this is all bollocks. I don't want to do this anymore. Let's just call it simple. Let's call it something simple like Rhys James Begins. And then that played, like a short version of that played before I came on stage. In the show, and then I walk on stage, and I had a mic stand that was a broomstick. So it had been made to look like a broomstick by Pat Cahill, who's a comedian, who's also a prop maker. Yes. Made me this mic stand that he just like made to look like a witch's broomstick perfectly. So it was like the idea was, oh fuck, I've already bought all the broomsticks. So
brilliant.
That was the intro to the show.
And is that the last we hear of Harry Potter in the whole show?
Oh, Harry Potter's not mentioned ever again. Yeah, it's literally just that's the opening to the show, and none of that is referenced ever again. But it was
that is very satisfying.
But it was just so that Harry Potter thing was when I was like, oh fuck it, fine, I'll guess I'm filming this. So I bought that cloak. I've still got it.
Have you still got it?
Still got the mic stand. Yep.
Have you used them? Have you touched them since?
The mic stand was a coat stand in my bedroom for a while. Then what happens is you move in with your girlfriend and you're not really allowed to have that sort of stuff anymore. So it's now just in a cupboard somewhere, I think.
You know what you need to do to it, don't you?
Go on.
You know what you need to do? Well, you're getting to an age now, mate. It's time to frame it.
Of course. Yeah. Somehow flatten the mic stand. Maybe put it in a big 3D frame. Get something. Something really gauche. In our one-bedroom London flat. Something that really takes up some space. Yeah, that would be nice.
Okay, let's skip ahead now. Late 2015. Here's an interesting one. You bought this for Lily Aaron. Do we know who that is?
Yep, that's the woman I live with who won't let me have my broomstick.
Oh. Okay,
that's good.
Right.
That's so still going, isn't it? That's handy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good news there, mate. You obviously love her because you bought her a kilogram of baklava.
Oh, she loves that. Okay, fine. When you said a kilogram, I was
kilogram?
Like, can you get this on Amazon? Oh, right, sorry. She fucking loves it, mate. So I got her that. That's not bad. I'm pleased with that actually.
Incredible. A kilogram of baklava. Take me through why. What was this? Was it for a thing? Was it an apology? Was it apology baklava?
Almost certainly apology baklava. When is it not? give me the date. Let's work it out.
Yeah, so it's 8th of November 2015 you bought that for Lily there.
It can't be anything else. There's no significant dates around that. It's got to be. No. That's not going to last till Christmas, is it?
So oh God, it's not going to last till dawn. Mate.
Yeah.
I just destroy that. I mean, what you've taken there is the best bit of, say, a Cornish pasty, and then the best bits of a cake, i.e. just shitloads of sugar and honey.
Yeah.
And you just jam them together. And I can eat baklava until I'm sick. I was once on the set of a TV show, no big deal, and they had some baklava. And none of the main actors would eat it because it's so fattening. So this is absolutely true. Three actors, including Rufus Sewell, in fact, no big deal, mate. Get over it. It's my podcast. I can name it if you want it. Stood around me making me eat baklava because they wanted the vicarious thrill of watching someone else eat foods they weren't allowed to eat.
Really? They're that precious about, they wouldn't even have like one at the tiniest bit.
No,
they honestly have to insist on a zero sugar diet, zero baklava diet.
It felt a bit like, you know, the whipping boy in medieval times where the king, the future king, as someone who gets beat, who gets told off. I felt like that, like a fat whipping boy.
You were almost like a poison taster for a king.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, have you seen them? You basically did just puddings. Ed Gamble and James Acaster's YouTube series where Ed gets James to taste puddings for him because he's diabetic. You did that years before they conceived the idea.
Mate, can I get some copyright?
I don't know if it makes any money, but if it does, you're the rightful owner of
it. Me and Sewell are going to take it down. 2016, absolutely fascinating. I don't know what's going on in 2016. Only two orders placed, Reese. One of which is a book for her by Bridget Christie.
A gift for the aforementioned Lily Aaron.
And then Farrah's of Harrogate four drum biscuit selection in August 2016.
What?
Someone's showing off.
It was I need to know more information on what that means.
It was. So this was bought for Lily again. So, mate, you're a feeder. you bought her a kilogram of baklava. And then in August 2016, presumably when you're in Edinburgh, I guess, you bought her some shortbread and cookies, and it's like a sort of gift selection of different biscuits. It's the sort of thing that you'd buy a relative, an aged granny, yeah. I'll be honest.
Oh, she's very old. Did I not say?
Oh, okay.
She's
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you got. It. Do you have no memory of this?
No, but if it was during August, then I was in Edinburgh. That is almost definitely an apology as well, because in Edinburgh, okay, I would have been a stressed out prick. So I'd probably go, here you go, have some shortbread and shut up. Mm-hmm. Leave me alone.
You were literally keeping her sweet whilst buying her good feminist
and also
comedy
just like,
from Bridget
Christie. Yeah, feminist literature and biscuits. Oh,
you're
am
so
I?
So manipulative.
I care about you on two levels. what I feel about that is that, I mean, sure, these are nice gifts to receive, but you wouldn't necessarily associate wonderful baking with Amazon. Like, if you want to get some lovely biscuits and some lovely baklava, you're not like, oh, you know where I'm going to go? To an online retailer, to a DVD shop on the internet.
You've literally phoned it, and you're probably walking down the Royal Mile with your phone on, trying to get some decent phone reception in Edinburgh just to buy her some biscuits.
Oh, fuck it. Just the first thing that comes up on Amazon. Gift ideas.
Exactly. And then, let's crash into 2017. This is pretty interesting here. I'm just wondering what's going on in July 2017, because you've bought a webcam, an HD webcam.
Oh, yeah.
You then also bought
several webcams.
You've bought a mini spy camera. You've bought four cameras in the space of a month. Are you worrying about Lily? Are you just making sure that she's definitely at home eating her biscuits? What's going on?
Let me ask you this, Tom.
Settling.
Have you seen Agent Cody Banks?
Tell me more, please.
No, that's not actually relevant. So the reason I got those cameras is because I did this Edinburgh show. I mean, as is so many of these things. I had an Edinburgh show, and a lot of the material was about whether or not we're being spied on through our laptops and stuff. I did a lot of material that was a bit contrarian about it, saying like, of course we're not. Anyone who's worried about that, anyone who's got tape on their laptop camera is a fucking idiot. The government and like MI5 and the FBI, they don't care about you. They don't want your stuff. They're not interested. What? How would you be so arrogant to think that? But funny. And then at the end of the show, I had this sort of trick where I revealed that, well, you actually should be paranoid because you are being filmed. Specifically, you're being filmed right now, and specifically you. And then I had a camera that was pointed at one person in the audience. And it was always a person I had specifically spoken to about a certain thing earlier. So basically, I had to rig who was sat in that seat. So it wasn't allocated seating. So the joke was that I had a housemate at the time who didn't have a towel. That's true.
Right.
And so isn't on there. On my Amazon list, but he didn't have a towel. The fact is, he didn't have a towel, all right? And I slowly
hang on, very quickly. What was he, a drip dryer, or he'd use bog roll? What?
Oh, mate, he was a fucking idiot. He basically...
Okay, fine.
He didn't have a towel, and I figured it out because I shared a bathroom with him. And what happened is I would go in the bathroom, and every time he'd have been in the shower, and if I'd go in the bathroom like 10 minutes later, the bath mat would be soaking wet and on the radiator. It was my bath mat, so I got rid of it. So I hid it. And then you go in and the hand towel that's next to the sink would be soaking wet, also mine. So I got rid of that. And then one day I went in and a cricket jumper was just dripping wet on the radiator.
Oh, God.
And then his girlfriend came around. That's right. This person had a girlfriend. And his girlfriend came around and one day was like, oh, I'm going in the shower. Can you get me a towel? And he went into his bedroom and came back out with a tea towel from the kitchen. And me and my third housemate were both like, what the fuck? And his girlfriend was like, what are you doing? And he was like, what? I've been washing them. But we knew for a fact he didn't know how to use the washing machine and had never washed it. So it turned out we'd been playing Russian roulette with body tea towels the whole time.
Oh, that's so gross.
So what I would do is, in the show, I would ask, I would say sort of, I'd do a routine about that. And but before it, I'd preface it by asking someone in the front row, how many towels have you got? Right, because everyone has 12. Everyone has fucking loads of towels in their house. Everyone who's an adult. Yeah. So what I'd often ask is, can you get a parent to sit there? Someone, a middle-aged person to be sat in that chair, I would say to the venue staff. Because young people sometimes go, I've only got one. And then that's sort of not really funny that my guy had zero. So if they say, like, you get a middle-aged person off and they're like, oh, probably about 30. And you're like, yeah. That's a bit more than zero, isn't it? And then you can go into a chat about that. And then I would reveal, I was actually filming you the whole time. I've been hired by John Lewis to find out how many towels people in certain demographics have. And I would just like do a callback to that. But they're now on screen. So like literally just them is on screen. So I bought loads of cameras because I was like, I was looking into how to do it. And I'm not that tech minded compared to a lot of people who go to Edinburgh. So I was looking into how to do it. And I was like, okay, it seems like these security cameras are the best ones because they're not detectable. You won't be able to see them in the room. And they just like get the bit. And then I just couldn't connect them to my laptop. And they all came with like software discs. And like they would only work if it was like on 24 hours a day and all this shit. And I was just like, oh, this is not what I want. And then Matt Ewins, who is much better at this sort of stuff, just said, mate, just use a like £4 webcam. Just get any kind of Logitech webcam. For what you're doing, you don't need anything more than that. And it will just connect direct to your laptop and you can just hide it. You just tape it up there, like at the top of the room or whatever, where by the lights. And so I did that, but I'd spent, if you add up those totals, I spent about £150 on different security cameras. And
I mean, I'm happy to help with that.
None of them were refundable. I couldn't get the money back 85. On any.
Yeah, you spent well over £100 on cameras, which were complete. You now have a load of spy cameras in a drawer, which, you know, luckily you're very happily with someone. But if someone else came back to your room on a date and opened the drawer next to your bedside table.
Yeah, just out of action spy cameras, so you know that I've worn them down.
That would be terrifying. December 2017, Reese, you bought the Bitcoin commemorative round collector's coin. Very nice. What's that for?
Yankee Swap.
Any idea? Oh, Yankee Swap. Of course, Yankee Swap again. Brilliant.
Gift. That was a great... No one wanted it. I thought it was brilliant. I was so happy with that. That was the year when everyone was talking about Bitcoin a lot. And I was one of those people, having bought Bitcoin and watched it fly to the moon. I was like, oh, guys, you got to get in on this. I've made so much money.
Did you have some? Did you have some?
Yeah, I didn't cash out.
So how much did it get up to at one point? What was it up at?
Oh, thousands and thousands. I had made thousands and thousands. I was like... Because I'd invested and then immediately it got me loads of money within a month... I was like, well, this will never end. I'd be a fool to cash this out. And obviously that it ended. It ended in spectacular form and it has never restarted. It really, truly plummeted to the floor. I think what I did is I cashed out what I put in so that I was safe. And then I tried to watch my profit make me more profit because I'm a keen capitalist, as listeners will know.
It's a great system.
I mean, we're on a show about Amazon. So, I mean, I'm not the bad guy here. But I was actually trying to make more money so I could give it to charity. But sadly, that failed. And I've actually had to take quite a lot of money from charity as a result. But yeah, that was for Yankee Swap. And
Yankee Swap? Yeah. The Yankee Swap's going to be a thing. I bet loads of people tweet us at ToasterPod when they see that. Because I've never heard of Yankee Swap. And I bet there'll be loads of people who've done it. There you go. This is great. I'm being entertained and I'm learning stuff, Reese. This is textbook ToasterPodding right now. I can't believe it. Also, what I'm really enjoying doing, as ever, as I always do when I do this podcast, is gauging how people's lives have changed, right? And it's a really enjoyable thing. You start off 2018, so the best part of 10 years you've been on Amazon. When you're first on Amazon, you're buying yourself books by comedians, you buy yourself your first ever razor. By the way, 2018, you buy Gillette Fusion Pro Glide razor blades.
The next time I use them.
There you go. Well, you're welcome. A good 6-year gap. That's how long it takes for Reese James to get some flakes of hair on his chin. And then you spend £200 in October 2018 on such things as a Samsung microwave, a sound bar, and this is my favourite, the kitchen compost caddy, dark green. I love a kitchen compost caddy.
Yeah, well, there
caddy.
You go. That is the moment that I moved in with my girlfriend and we needed some... I think I got the sound bar for... What was the date again?
2018, October 2018.
The soundbar because I realised that I didn't have one during the World Cup. And yeah. Every time I was watching the World Cup, I was like, God, I wish I had a soundbar so that I could get the atmosphere in this room.
You want that authentic all bar one experience, don't
you? Yes, exactly.
Bass.
Yeah, yeah. Every time England scored, I would throw my pint in the air, absolutely decimate my house. It was a disaster. So I remember getting that. And then, it was all about, that's when we moved in. So I needed the compost bin. I needed a microwave. That's because the guy I lived with moved out, taking the microwave, and then my girlfriend moved in, not bringing with her own microwave. So, you know, not particularly interesting.
Yeah, but it makes sense. The symbolism of a new microwave, that's a new life.
You know
that's
what that means,
when my wife and I moved in together. Here's a new microwave. Optimum Nutrition Gold Standard Whey Protein, MAR. Reese is trying to bulk up here for maybe new Edinburgh photos.
Well, as you know, I mean... I know this is a podcast, but as you know, and as listeners will know, I'm the henchest man in showbiz. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm the buffest man in the biz. And that's how you get so buff, is you buy the protein. And if you're not putting in the powder, then you're not going to grow to the sort of immense size that you hear before you today.
Yeah, I can really tell. I can really hear the muscles creaking. What else? Oh, look, here we are. Look, July 2019, he's got a set of 4 cotton towels.
Yeah, there
Very
you go.
Nice. Life imitating art. That is absolutely dreamy.
Oh,
I love it.
Oh, wait. Tell me again when that was. July?
2019.
Yeah, that's because we turned up to our Edinburgh flat and they didn't have duvets, duvet covers, towels, anything. There was nothing there.
Jesus.
Yeah, you know when you...
Presumably you were paying, £3,000 or something reasonable for the flat.
The most expensive flat we'd ever had and they didn't have anything. And no Wi-Fi, but crucially, no bedding whatsoever.
I must admit, it's the one branch of people who I'm quite glad that are going to suffer during Corona is Edinburgh Festival landlords.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hope it really stings this summer because it's all people who rent out their flats to students in the year and then just make this crazy bonanza. For that 1 month of August, they make the same as they do for the rest of the year. It's so
There was
gross.
An amazing bit where we really complained to this landlord and so he came round to investigate what we were talking about because the flat really smelled of smoke, like stale smoke. And so Adam Hess, who had booked the flat, which I will never let him do again.
I love Adam Hess. He's been on this podcast. Wonderful man. Absolute fucking idiot. Though.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
And is, by the way, he's one of the housemates. And absolutely insanely, he's not the one who didn't have a towel. Everyone would believe, if they know anything about Adam Hess, he's the one who wouldn't have a towel and just goes, you don't need a towel. It's not efficient. But
you don't need one.
Even Adam Hess has a towel. It was a different, much, much worse idiot. Anyway, in terms of the idiot stakes and also in terms of being a bad person.
I like using him as an idiot barometer, though.
Exactly.
If my kids do anything stupid now, I'll just say, what are you doing eating Lego? Even Adam Hess wouldn't eat Lego.
You're acting like 6 Adam Hesses right now. so we got the landlord round. And obviously we talked about loads of stuff and Adam became quite forceful and suddenly very direct and quite professional sounding. And there was just this bit where he said, what about the smoke? And then the landlord said, well, the previous tenants here weren't smokers. So like that smell is probably just from maybe just because the windows haven't been opened. So the smell hasn't gone out. And then Adam said, why don't you follow that train of thought through and see where you get to? And the guy was like, yeah, but they weren't smokers. So I don't know why. And we were just like, you're fucking hell. Christ. You're being outsmarted by Adam.
We like to listen to Toast. We're not the kind who would boast, and even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to Toast. La la la.
What we're going to do now, Reese, as we get towards the end of the journey, which has been the sort of the domestication of Reese James. I don't know if you want that as a title for a future Edinburgh. This is a man who's lost microwaves, but he's gained pounds with the protein. And we now see, oh my God, do you know what's extraordinary? Last week on this show, right? Matt Ford bought exactly the same thing.
Go on.
Sports resistance bands.
Oh yeah, well, we're in lockdown. I bought that, a week ago or something, or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you've got basically giant elastic bands, essentially.
Yeah.
I got one of these ones for physio on my wrist when I broke my wrist. Have you used them yet?
Yeah. Well, you can't buy dumbbells anywhere. And I don't know if you remember from a few minutes ago, but I am absolutely massive. And I need to maintain it. I've got to maintain it. I can't get down to the gym. I've got to be maintaining it. Body weight isn't going to be enough for me. despite okay. how impressive that weight is. So I need a big elastic band to pull about. So yeah, I've been using it. I've been using it just to make normal things harder. I've been putting it around the banister in my block of flats on the yes. like in when you go into the hallway and then just like pulling it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're actual official exercises.
You can make yourself into a sort of Rhys James catapult, couldn't you? If you put it across yeah. the top of a banister, throw yourself exactly. down. That could probably be some absolute lolathon viral video.
If you look at the specification of that band, I believe I bought the strong category. I believe it wasn't.
Yeah, well, of course.
It wasn't medium. I believe I went for strong.
These last few orders tell a story, because as you've gone into lockdown, there's something desperately bleak about the fact that you've bought a Griffin Elevator computer laptop stand.
So using it right
to
now.
Make your laptop yeah, there you are. So you've got your stand for your laptop as you sit and do nothing but stare at your laptop. You've bought a massive bread knife, which looks like you're about to murder someone.
I bought that minutes and before then, this started, actually.
And then you bought the Kung Fu Mall birthday party decoration kit, one happy birthday banner, and five pieces of gold confetti balloons for birthday party decorations. Because what you is it your birthday coming up, or is it your other half's birthday?
I'm not buying
up?
Birthday decorations for myself. I mean, that's bleak.
That's what I was thinking. This podcast has ended in a sort of cry for help.
No,
for
so basically, I bought those because it was my girlfriend's birthday, but I bought them because I remembered last year or something. My girlfriend is someone who works with a normal job. So as a comedian, I obviously get up pathetically late and then she's not there. So it was when it was my birthday last year, I remember waking up in the flat, going into the kitchen, and there was like a cake waiting for me, a card, and then also it said happy birthday and lights. There were some happy birthday lights, and I was like, oh, that was really yeah. good. And so I thought, okay, I'll do that for when, you know, I'll get up early or something, and then I'll sort that out. So, and put these, oh no, that was it, before I went to bed, classic, the comedian's way, I'll just go to bed really late and put these buy this happy birthday thing and put it up. The plan was, I was like, oh, I'll use those happy birthday lights, and then I remembered, oh, she bought them. That would be insensitive to just literally use the exact same thing that she's
done. I mean, you might as well change your name to Lily, and then you can just give her your card back.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I bought that and then used it. And I couldn't, right. annoyingly, I couldn't fit. I put the word happy up in a room. And as you say, I've moved on from blue tack, so I couldn't blue tack it up. So I was having to tie the string to certain things to fit it up. So I put happy up in between these blinds. And then I realized that birthday was too big to fit in that room, so I had to put it in a different room. And so birthday went in the kitchen, but the kitchen is the first room you go into when you wake up. It's opposite the bedroom, inexplicably. So she woke up and just saw birthday, and then if you walk to the other room, like the office room, it then said happy on its own. So it's so
oh
pathetic.
My God, happy on its own is the most, but happy on its own is the most pass ag. But you can imagine some terrible boss in an office somewhere just putting happy by itself.
Happy.
So you just walk in the room, happy. Listen, Rhys, this has been great. Can you choose, of all the items we've gone through, can you choose one item that best sums you up? What's your entry level Rhys James item there that really lets us in on who you are, do you reckon? I have all these
two
ones.
Words, protein powder. There is nothing more quintessentially Rhys James than whey protein bulking powder.
Yeah. And finally, just add water. Rhys James, just add water. That is beautiful. Thank you so much for doing this. And our listeners can find you all over Twitter, right? What's your Twitter name?
Oh, just yeah. Rhys James, I guess. Rhys James E with a Y at the end.
Very, you are very, very funny on Twitter.
Very
and
good.
Also, okay on these podcasts as well.
Yeah,
that was absolutely
sure,
brilliant. Thank you. I it was great. I really loved that. Thank you for joining us on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Rhys, have a happy and safe... have a happy and safe lockdown, but actually just have a happy.
Yeah, that's just have a happy. Have I a can't happy. Fit the other sign in. Happy. Just have a happy.
Thank you, mate. That was brilliant. The brilliant Rhys James there. That was really lush. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening, as ever, to the podcast. I've got some more coming up very soon. They're going to be lush. Hope you're okay. Hope you are staying safe and happy and healthy in this very difficult, weird time. I'm sending you lots of love. And more Toaster coming up soon. Give us a follow at ToasterPod. And if you really can't get enough of me in your life, then it's embarrassing, even the idea that you'd want more of this, gubbins. Then I'm doing a daily podcast with the fabulous Dave Cribb called Cabin Fever, whereby every day we talk absolute drizzle. And it is not drizzle in a kind of nice on a salad sort of drizzle, you know what I mean? Or a lemon drizzle cake. We're talking drizzle like rain splattered against a window. But, you know, some people like that. Anyway, happy lockdown. See you soon. Lots of love. All the best. Kind regards. Thanks for coming. As long as I love you, I'm thinking of you. When I'm without you, I'm thinking about you. Please don't believe me. Don't see me. By the way, out your part, I can't. GreatBigOwl.com.
Rule of Three,
where people who make funny stuff
talk about something funny that they love.
Because I remember as a kid thinking that's a really good old-fashioned gag, but it's also nasty.
The actual VHS, this is clearly sufficiently important to me that this went to House Moves as well.
There is that joy and that slight fear as well about who's going to say what.
Everything from Airplane to Bottom.
From When Harry Met Sally to The Muppets.
Trying is good, aiming high is good, being ridiculous and not being afraid of failure is good.
I think that joke is so fucking funny.
Again, I just think this is hysterical. It's beautiful stuff.
Rule of Three from Great Big Owl.